to say thank you to Miss Abigail for the fine job doing playing the piano. And it's always good to be able to have another pianist that you can fill in for these others that are here. And, hey, we just want to say thank you for it. Good job all the way around. And then not only that, but how about Lucas? Let's remember to my older brother. He's here. He is. Y'all know him, don't you?
Yeah.
He's a bass. Guarantee you right now. And he's you went and got some kind of college entrance exams. What do you call it?
TSI.
That's something. You know, it sounds like something you'd say behind the door. I've got TSI. And all that. But, hey, congratulations. He passed all of that business there, and he's getting college ready and all of that business. And, hey, my word, he ain't been walking, learning to walk and run, but many days. And so here he is, buddy. He's just doing real good, rip snorting right through that and all that right there. And obviously didn't have to cheat a lick more than once. No, not even one time. Good enough for you. That's a good deal. Did you ever even, like, one time whenever you was here, like, any of that? No? Huh? He's not a cheater. I guarantee you right now. I got in trouble at school one time for telling somebody, if you don't start making better grades, I'm going to quit copying off of you. And so, anyhow, congratulations. That's all. Well, I said all that to say this, congratulations. Now, if you want to find out something about the next motorbike that comes out cross country, from the uniform to the bottom of his foot to the top of his head to the giving it to the gas and all that right there, there's a man right there practicing playing the banjo, even if it's a Coke can. I mean, he's but I guarantee you, he's good at it. He's good at it. I told him, I said, man, that sounds like music coming from across the tracks, but I like it. So. All right, take your Bible, if you will, please. That's enough of that. And so, anyhow, these two here are worthy, certainly, to be recognized. And sometimes I forget that, and I don't mean so. I know that it's a good thing that you're involved in trying to grow up, get educated, and so forth and on. Take your Bible to the book of 2 Kings in chapter number 10 in the book of 2 Kings. All right, look there, if you will, please, in chapter number 10, verse number 11. If you're able to stand, then we'll look there in that lesson that's there. All right, here's what we said. Let's begin with verse 1. And Ahab had 70 sons in Samaria. That's a lot of sons, isn't it? And Jehu wrote letters and sent it to Samaria and to the rulers of Jezreel and the elders and to them that brought up Ahab's children, saying, now, as soon as this letter cometh to you, then seeing your master's sons are with you, and they are with you chariots and horses and fenced cities also in armor, look even out the best and meet as your father, your master's sons, and set him on the father's throne and fight for your master's house. But the Bible said in the next passage, they were exceedingly afraid, and they said, behold, two kings stood not before him. How then shall we stand? Then look back there about verse number 11. Verse 11, so Jehu slew all that remained of the house of Ahab in Jezreel, and all the great men, and his kinfolks, and his priests, until he left him none remaining. Now, Father, we ask your blessing upon the reading of the word. We do thank you for it, how good it is to be in the house of God. We thank you now for the good singing that we've enjoyed, and Lord, the good talent that you blessed us so much with. We pray your blessings upon them. May you guard each and of them's heart and mind. And Lord, the good special music and the singing. We just want to say thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while on killing 20 sons of Ahab. And I want to tell you, before the work was done, he had to kill 20 sons. You talk about in the day and hour that we're living in, we're talking about people that live long lives and that certainly that many times, like Ahab, he was a murderer at heart. Remember that? He had a wife by the name of Jezebel. She was a murderess at heart. And as a result of that, you're going to find they hated God, the Bible, good, right, moral, and decent. And anybody that preached the unadulterated word of the Lord, they hated them. In fact, they didn't mind a little bit of a sugar stick preaching, we'll call it. They didn't mind somebody brag on them about how good they were, about how they were already doing. They just hated the truth of God and what God said about them, thus saith the Lord. This week, while I was busy about this and that, a man that's educated, highly educated, I don't know how much money he's worth, but probably a lot more than I ever will shall be. And anyhow, the long and short of it was, here's what he said, you know. He said, you know, as long I felt like that if there is a heaven, now that ought to be, there's a word if there. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. There's a heaven to be had and a hell to be shunned. You're going to one or the other. Anyhow, the long and short of it was, is that here's what he says. I find it's better to go ahead and believe, because if you don't believe, and then all of that you've been hearing about was real, then you're in trouble. I'm thinking the whole time, mister, you're already in trouble. Yes, you ain't going to be in trouble. And he said, but if you believe, and then, you know, and it turned out right, then you're recovered. Now, let me just tell you, that ain't how it works, in case you're wondering. The Bible said you're saved by grace through faith, plus nothing or minus nothing. It's the gift of God. Now, let me tell you, when faith comes, it'll bring you to grace. It'll grant you repentance. It'll give you faith. It'll give you what's needed to believe in what God has done with his only begotten Son. But let me say to you that, if you will, there'll be no faith given whatsoever unless you're hearing the word of the Lord. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. I'm going to tell you, if you don't hear the word of the Lord, faith's not coming. If faith never comes, you'll never get to grace. And if you never get to grace, you'll spend eternity without God, without hope, and you'll bust hell wide open when you could have been repentant toward God and by faith believed what God's record was concerning his only begotten Son. Now, let me tell you right now, is that in the day and hour we're living in, the world is full of that. From the White House to the outhouse, that's the kind of thinking that people have got. I've got kin folks that think that, though they would never articulate it like that. I've got kin folks that believe that kind of way. I got to say to you that, if you will, why do you think God emphasized over and over again, there's none good, no, not one? See, these are folks that are trying to get to heaven on their good merit. And let me tell you right now, that's just not going to ever happen. Ahab was such a man that we've read about here. Do you realize at all that he was wicked and godless? And boy, I'm telling you right now, he was pouting one day because he wanted a vineyard that was next to his that wanted to buy it. And of course, Naboth wouldn't sell it to him. And he's laid around pouting. And of course, old Jezebel, his wife, and won't know what in the world is the matter with you. And Naboth won't sell me his vineyard. And so she hired somebody to testify against him. And they murdered him. And she went back and told her husband, now he's dead. Get up and take that place for yourself. And as a result of that, she felt like that money could buy anything and everything. I want to say to you that whenever they met with Jehoshaphat, remember that? And Jehoshaphat, he said, don't you know Ramoth Gilead belongs to us? And if you'll help me, we'll take it. And as a result of it, he says, well, is there a prophet of the Lord we may inquire of? And well, they brought out all them prophets of Baal that were godless and wicked, that were baptistic, telling people what they wanted to hear, namely the king. And Jehoshaphat, he knew what real Bible preaching was. Now, I realize, though, that one of these days is that some of us are going to pass off the scene. I can't tell you how many preachers that I knew way back when I first got saved and surrendered to preach, that have already since went to heaven. But I got to say to you that, if you will, it's getting harder and harder to find somebody that'll stay by the stuff and be true to the word of the Lord. Anyhow, Jehoshaphat, he asked Ahab, and he said, is there a prophet of the Lord that I may inquire of him? And do you remember what Ahab told him? There's one named Micaiah, but I hate him. He never preaches anything good concerning me. Well, God bless him. And as a result of that, you're going to find that Ahab was a man trying to play both ends again in the middle. The Bible said that if you look in chapter number 9, and I look there about verse number 7, and thou shalt smite the house of Ahab thy master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish. Now that's what turning your ear away from the word of the Lord will do for you. It'll bring the curse of God upon your whole house. And he said, I'm going to cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall. Now if you're a modern preacher and you're wanting to be nice, the preacher was reading one time and he said, Pisseth. Well, it's not that. It's pisseth against the wall. He's talking about a male. I know some of you may have kinfolks that are female that can probably do that. But we're not talking about that. That's in another lesson. What we're talking about tonight is these men. What's he talking about? Well, when you read the next chapter and you find out Ahab's got 20 sons. Now, that's the ones he's talking about. And God's going to annihilate them. God's going to cut them off. God's going to take them away from them. Now, here's old Jehu, that if you will, please. And boy, let me tell you, you talk about a mighty man of valor. Here's an old boy that right here that wasn't exactly as clean as a whistle, but I promise you, God's going to use him to bring vengeance because of Ahab's house upon the prophets that he slew, upon those that he mistreated, upon those that he, and upon Naboth, of whom that he killed and murdered and took his own vineyard. Now, I want to say to you that when you begin to look into it, Jehu's already been anointed the king of Israel. And as a result of that, you're going to find out that he's about to annihilate the whole house of Ahab. They're fixing to pay the price. You know, there's a high price to pay for low living. And you may not believe it, but sooner or later it's coming. It may be long gone after that I've left this world. Some of you may look back and say, I remember when that preacher used to preach heaven real and hell hot. And God would knock on my heart's door, and if you didn't do anything with it, you're going to remember one of these days it may be too late. But as a result of that, you're going to find out that here's a man by the name of Ahab, and here's a wife by the name of Jezebel. And let me tell you right now, is what they're going to do is that they're going to do what they can to just simply live their life and think nobody's going to ever do anything about it. Nobody's ever going to bring us to account for it. Let me tell you, one of these days there is a day of accountability. And as a result of that, Ahab and his house is about to find it out. Now, in the lesson that we've read tonight, 70 sons living in Samaria, that's what Ahab had. And as a result of that, you're going to find out Jehu sent some letters. And of course, they were afraid whenever they got a letter to be able to replace him. And the reason being was because he's challenging them to make themselves the new king. And they're thinking, well, other kings have come to do that, and they're not able to stop him, and they're afraid for their own life. And as a result of him, he says, you better pick out a king for yourself. Because little did they know, they're fixing to be kingless. In the lesson that we're looking at, here's what Jehu does whenever he sends out the letter. He tells them that they better look in verse number 4. He says, but they were exceedingly afraid and said, behold, two kings stood not before him. How then shall we stand? I got to say to you that if you will, is that you're going to have to do what you can to be loyal unto the Lord. And let me tell you right now, when God moves and whatever God said will happen, does happen, and finally comes to pass, you'll find that he not only wrote him a letter, but then in verse number 6, he said, then he wrote a second letter. Look at it. A time unto them again. Talking about giving him a little bit of space. Now, of course, the king's sons were 70 persons and with great men of the city, which brought them up. Now, in the lesson, in verse number 7, it says, and it came to pass that when the letter came to them, they took the king's sons and they slew 70 persons and put their heads in baskets and sent them to Jezreel. You talk about a sight. You talk about a lot of blood being shed. And there came a messenger and told him, saying, they have brought the heads of the king's son. And he said, lay ye them in two heaps at the entering end of the gate until the morning. Now, I want you to look now, verse 10. We've read that. He said, for know now that there shall fall into the earth nothing of the word of the Lord, which the Lord spake concerning the house of Ahab. You know, if you were to preach about beheading 20 sons of a king in the day we live in, you know what the average Baptist would do? They would just gasp and think, God don't do that. God did do that. Here was a man that was godless and wicked, and though he was the king of Israel, and you're going to find out is that as a result of it, he paid the price for his own children and 20 of them. You know, the Bible says over there that God will visit the iniquity of the children on the of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation. And boy, let me tell you, he did. We live in a day and an hour to where that it's watered down religion we're involved in. Instead of being washed white from your sin, people are wanting to whitewash it so it don't appear to be so sinful. I got to say that when you look into it, the Bible said that he's asking, no doubt about it, if you're going to be mine, you're going to be following the word of the Lord, you're going to have proof of that loyalty. And what a nasty task was set before them as they slew those sons, 20, 70 of them, and divided them up and put them in two different bunches and put them at the heads of there into the entering of the gate until the morning. Now, you talk about a nasty task. How'd you like to be involved in that? Slay the sons of Ahab was the word that came. Cut their heads off was the word that came from the Lord. And come into me in Jezreel and meet me there. Now 70 basketfuls of head that have been cut off. You know, in the day and hour that we're living in, is that we want to make God, we want to make it as though he's nothing but just kind of a anemic looking sissy. I'm going to tell you right now, buddy, he's a God of war. And you can't whoop him. And when you look into this Bible lesson that's here, you're going to find out one of these days that people are going to believe too late. You know, right now, there's not anybody that's in hell that doesn't believe. They just believe too late. I can tell you right now, you know what they're doing in hell right now? They're crying out for somebody to come and give them relief. They're begging God to have mercy upon them when it's way too late. In this lesson we're looking at, you'll find out, they bring the heads, brought them in two different sets of baskets, and as a result, that brought them into the gate, verse number 8. And the Bible said in the morning, Jehu addresses these people that slew all of these and wants to know who slew them. Now, watch this here, is that all of this in verse 10, if you didn't get any of it, all of this was at the word of the Lord. You know, we forget, too, that in the days, remember whenever there was Saul, the first king over Israel, and God said, I want you to go into the Amalekites, and I want you to kill every one of them from the sucking child up or from the king down to the sucking child. Can you imagine that? And boy, in the day and hour that we're living in, you'll say, well, hey, I don't want to put less in that than ought to be. You better be careful when you go to trying to put into your word what you think God's word should have said when that's what God's word said. And buddy, whenever he showed up with that king and some of those oxen and some of those animals, Samuel went out and met him and he said, well, Saul, I see you're returning. And he said, oh, yeah, I've obeyed the word of the Lord. Well, if you have, then what meaneth the bleating of these sheep and the lowing of those cattle? What's this king doing? Oh, you don't understand. What I'm going to do is I've got an altar to plant. I'm going to go ahead and try to see if I can have a big offering and a big shindig for the Lord because of these people in the great onslaught. And that's when Samuel told him that Saul, it would have been better for you to have obeyed than to give a sacrifice. You know, you're never going to get above doing what God said. It may not always be the easiest thing. I can tell you right now is that in all these years that I've been preaching, what did we say the other day? 51 feels like 101 or something like that, but anyhow, 51 years. You know, there's been some times that while I was at the house and while I was praying and while I was studying, is that all of a sudden there, God tell me, here's where it's going to be at. And I'd say, Lord, do you realize that if I preach that, I'm going to lose these two families? And when I went ahead and obeyed what the Lord did, lost them two families. I can't tell you how many times that's happened. I'd like to forget it, but it keeps coming up. I just wanted to say to you that you'll always be better to stand for God and the Bible. These little girls, you know, our job's to kind of help protect you. And so that's the reason why that whenever somebody comes along that really and truly is a lockjaw germ, got pimples on their face and buck teeth and ain't got used any underarm deodorant and God knows when, they may not even know they've got deodorant. That it's our job as a parent to be able to school and to be able to look at and to be able, that's our job as a pastor, it's my job to find out who's coming in, who's wanting to join. We don't just let anybody and everybody come on in. Because when you do, it becomes chaotic. Sometimes it's harder to get rid of them than it was to get them. I said all that to say this, is that you're going to find out that God's way is just not our way. There's 70 sons that have been put into baskets because that's where their head's at. And they were slain by the hand of God and through the process and by the hand of Jehu. Now I want to say as we get down to the short row here tonight is that you're going to find out is that the house of Baal is about to be destroyed. Do you realize though that whenever they met together, those 70 sons of Ahab, you know, whenever they were summoned to meet together, 70 of them there, they did not know it was going to be the last time they were ever going to congregate. One of these days it'll be our last time, but they did not know they were there for the hand of God, the judgment of God, and 70 of these sons were meeting together for the last time. I can tell you what they were in the wrong congregation. I've been preaching for years, you know, you can be out of the will of God geographically where you ought not to be. You can be out of the will of God with the wrong crowd. I can promise you that. Why do you think God says that evil communications corrupt good manners? You better make sure you're with the right people at the right time. In verse number 23 of this text that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that these are people that are Baal worshipers. And the Bible says that, verse 23, and Jehu went to Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, and to the house of Baal, and he said unto the worshipers of Baal, search and look there. There be here with you none of the servants of the Lord, but worshipers of Baal only. In other words, we don't want to slay any of the people of God, but what we want is Baal worshipers, and we're going to slay them and remove them from the face of this earth. Little did they know it'd be their last gathering. Little did they know that they would wind up without hope, without God, and they would be slain. I want to say that when you begin to look into this lesson here, that thus in verse 28 is Jehu's about to destroy Baal and Baalism out of Israel. Look in verse 27 of the same chapter. And they break down the image of Baal and break down the house of Baal, and they made it a drought house unto this day. Now, you know what that is? That's an outhouse. That drought he's talking about a privy. He's talking about a place for sure, if you will, please. And as a result of that, that's what God thought. That's what God thinks about religion that's false right now. It's no better than an outhouse. See? why do you think God, whenever he says that he's going to one of these days burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire? You know what he feels about religious but lost people? Trash. See, now that's a little harsh, and you're not going to get a lot of points with that up in the uptown church, but since we're still out of town, see what I'm talking about? Oh, yeah, try that uptown. You can get something started quick. I know you think I'm a nice guy. I remember having a little old church over there at Grand Louisiana, Greenwood. Over there for a while. I knew immediately when I got that, man, it was, you know what makes you feel good? You come together like this, we're all singing in harmony, we're all of them preaching the word of the Lord, and we're all of them believing God, and so for every now and again we see one of these kids get saved, somebody comes in, somebody visit with us, and sometime we'd look and see people going that looked better going than they did coming, and all that been, and that's just wonderful. But put yourself in my place tonight with my family. And when you get there, even though you got a pretty good crowd, bigger, maybe even bigger than this one, there's 70 members of your church that are up the road meeting in a house trying to figure out how to get rid of you. I said, man, if y'all give me a minute, y'all won't have to worry about it too much longer. You see what I'm talking about? I want to say to you, make no mistake about it, is that one of these days you and I are going to meet for the last time. You better be sure you're with the right congregation. You better be sure you've got the right Bible. You better be sure that you're meeting with the right purpose. And I want to tell you something. If not, your house will be turned into a drought house, which means a sewer, a privy, if you will, please. And that's what it is, and that's what a drought is. Over in the book of Mark in chapter number 7, verse 18 through 19, also in Matthew chapter 15, it mentions that drought again. About a person that takes something from the outside in, it goes into the belly, it doesn't defile, but it goes out of the drought. And that's what he's talking about there. All right, in verse number 30, God has been well pleased with what God, look what he said, and we're closing. And the Lord said unto Jehu, because thou hast done well in executing that which is right in mine eyes, and hast done unto the house of Ahab according to all that was in mine heart, thy children of thy fourth generation, there it is, isn't it, shall sit on the throne of Israel. And Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord of Israel and with all of his heart, for he departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, which made Israel to sin. Now, isn't that a shame that here's a man, had God speaking to him directly, and yet he didn't walk in the ways, but he walked in the era of ways, like Jeroboam that had set up Baal over there in Dan and those idolatrous places of worship that they might be able to worship. Now, sooner or later, he's going to get it straightened out, and death may seal his doom and so forth and on. But what a promise. How would you like God to bless you and your house to the third and fourth generation instead of just cutting them off? I tell you right now, I want to be in the right lane when that happens. I want to do the right thing when that happens. You know, one of these days, and some of these kids, I can't imagine it, some of these kids and these grandkids, and I look at all of these as though they were grandkids of some sort and all of that, but I look at them. But one of these days, I can tell you right now, there's not anybody in this building that's even here tonight that's ever going to have to worry about, God wouldn't have nothing to do with me for the third and fourth generation and because I didn't listen. Let me tell you, I don't believe we have no non-listeners. I believe you do listen. And one of these days, you're going to have to give an account to God for how much that you did or did not act upon what you heard. See? Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. I pray that now that you'd help us to exalt and magnify your name together. We want to say thank you because thou art God, and beside thee there is none else. And from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Now bless, I pray, us as we go to our home tonight. And we'll thank you in advance for that in Jesus' name.